Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
It is Tuesday. It is once again time for the Out of Sight podcast on the Liberty Ballers Network. I am your host, Adil Royster. Chill ride, chill vibes as always. I understand that I am releasing a podcast on 420. If you are listening to this podcast in a state where the use of recreational drugs is approved by state legislatures, then enjoy. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. And if you're not in one of those states, yeah, you guys are going to do your own things anyway. So whatever. I am Adil Royster, of course. And it's been a very entertaining last week in Sixers basketball. They went and beat the Brooklyn Nets. They defeated the LA Clippers. But Dave Early penned a piece last week where specifically the Nets game, but I could also bleed this into the Clippers game as well, because there were a lot of elements between the two games. It felt more like moral defeats to him. So I kind of wanted to bring him on and kind of have him not necessarily explain himself, although, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Dave, explain yourself on that headline.
Well,
because wins are wins. They count as wins in the win column. There's no column for moral defeats, my man.
Every time somebody says it, but it was a moral victory, we also caveat with like, is there really such a thing? They lost the game. So I felt like it was worth considering the mood of the respective locker rooms. You know that if you were, you know, Steve Nash, D'Antoni, we got two former coaches on that bench, D'Antoni and Ime Udoka. And you know that they were pretty excited. They were like, look, we didn't have Harden. We didn't have KD. We had Kyrie, basically our bench unit, and we almost won. So if I were them, I'd be like, you know what? Even if they get home court advantage, if we're good, like maybe even if we just had two of our big three in this bench, we could steal game one. I might feel that way. If I were okay. The Sixers, had this big lead, and then I didn't. And, you know, they barely won, and they had, like, a couple, you know, Joel was wincing and, like, holding his brace. So,
yeah, we're going to dive into a bunch of those different topics. And I guess I do kind of agree with you now where it's like, okay, Brooklyn, all they had was Kyrie, and they still – kind of almost won that game. So yeah, I don't necessarily feel great, but again, a W is a W. And yeah, like I've said before, and I'll ask your opinion on this, when Brooklyn gets their big three all healthy and going, it won't be until the playoffs likely where we see that trio. Like, I guess my question is, how do you feel going up against those three, given the fact that the Sixers have largely had all of their chemistry intact for pretty much the entire season, whereas Brooklyn has not? Is that something that you consider could be a factor in a playoff matchup?
I mean, I'm thinking of, like, it's kind of funny to me, and not funny as a Sixers fan, but just, I don't know, what's the word? Ironic? You tell me. Like,
ironic this, works.
this team could go down as a top three team of all time without having played like eight games with their full arsenal of the regular season. You know what I mean? Like, they could win the championship and we'll look back and be like, okay, of course the Warriors and the Bulls, but this Nets team was right there. They have got three of the best offensive players of all time and a really scrappy bench. And you know, that
known
might be
known Sixers killer Jeff Green.
Yeah, they. I was joking with a friend the other day. I was like, they need to start load managing Shamit and Green because they're too good. You can't risk them getting hurt for the playoffs.
All right. I've also said this a bunch of times before on many podcasts and many previews, long form columns, what have you. I'm sorry. I'm more afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks because of the simple reason. Yes, Brooklyn has three of the 10 best players in the league, but Milwaukee, they've been playing together all season. Like, come playoff time, are there going to be like huge arguments between, like, okay, all right, Kyrie wants to close this game out. No, wait, sorry, James wants to close this game out. No, wait, crap, Kevin wants to close this game out. Like, there's only one ball, fellas. Like, I don't see how that wouldn't show up as a problem.
You know, it's like if you were an NCAA team and you were in the Sweet 16 and you got in one bracket, you got Kentucky and they're all the top high school players and they've only played like, you know, 20 games together. And the other side of the bracket, you've got Princeton and they're all 4-year seniors and they've all played together forever and they have great backdoor cuts. Who do you want to play?
Come on now. The Milwaukee Bucks are at the very least the Houston Cougars. Come on.
I'm not comparing them to Princeton. I'm just saying
the
chemistry argument doesn't work for me because there's talent here is just it's too disparate.
All right, I'll just say that Princeton has won me many a bracket pool in my time. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing that out to you, Dave.
Touche.
The second quarter against the Nets is really where I was yelling at my television, and it sounded like they were listening to me because I just kept saying, "Hey, you have Joel Embiid. They have no answer for him. Would you just pound the paint for God's sake?" And they did. They had an 11-point lead midway through the second quarter, and that's when Embiid had this one of his textbook rim rocker dunks, and the wincing started. So naturally, that's another part of this moral defeat thing that you headlined.
That was probably the biggest thing of it, yeah.
I'm not going to say we definitely don't need Embiid at full strength. Like, I feel like 75 to 80% Embiid in a 7-game series, I still feel like we're winning 4 of those games. Do you agree?
What percent would you say that he was in like 2019? Remember he came back and like people were like, he's clearly out of shape. He missed like, I don't know, maybe 10 games.
Is this the Phantom of the Process playoffs or the year after that?
No. That was the mask. This is the knee tendonitis.
I would say probably about like 70, 75 if I was in the percentage game.
If that, I would say maybe even lower because like he was definitely in the MVP conversation around Christmas.
True.
And then when you watch that Toronto series, he was just like the defensive anchor almost. He wasn't like... I mean, we were playing through Butler a lot.
True. I will say that Joel has looked, I don't know, like I'm not near his weight scale at all times, so I don't know if this is true or not, but he seems more spry this year than he was a couple of years ago, so I guess that's something.
He seems more everything this year. There was an SB Nation piece. I think it was by the Jazz blog today, and they were like, "Can Rudy Gobert do what no one has been able to do?" And I saw it, and I thought to myself, "Stop Embiid, no."
The next part of that Brooklyn game that just really made me upset, that 21-2 run that cut the ball game to 3, and it was. No one was out there for Brooklyn. Irving was on the bench, and we're getting roasted by Bruce Brown and Alize Johnson, for Christ's sake. Like, I see that name Alize, and I'm just like, wait, did somebody really name their kid after, like, a 2-bit wine from the early 2000s? Did that really just happen? Are we getting roasted by a low quality wine right now.
And two ex-Sixers.
Shannon and two ex-Sixers. But like, and that's the thing. Doc was forced to bring Embiid and Simmons back onto the floor when, you know, you would want to be able to trust the some parts of the second unit to keep a lead going against a bunch of scrubs. Like, I don't know what to think of the bench now. That's another part of this moral defeat angle. Like, I don't know what to think of this bench right now.
Definitely not as much.
Make me feel good about this bench, Dave.
Oh, I was going to go the other way. I was going to say not as good as – not as clicking as the Nets bench, but
– damn it.
If we're looking at, like, a 9.5, 10-person playoff – rotation, who do you think is going to be in that? Let's say they're all pretty much healthy,
right?
So you got the starters and you got George Hill coming back,
right?
Would you pencil in both Shake and Furkan?
I don't know. I would probably, depending on the situation and like who we're playing, if you need somebody that's more of a score slash ball handler, I guess I would go Shake. But if you just want somebody bombing threes, obviously I want Furkan.
Furkan has, to me, he's sort of like closed the potential gap between the two of them lately.
I would agree with that.
And then you got guys like, I want to say Mike Scott slash Anthony Tolliver, because I don't think it'll be both of them if either crack that rotation. And then obviously right. Dwight, who we could probably pencil in because Doc loves Dwight.
Man, just makes me feel so bad that, you know, it makes me feel a certain kind of way that we have to rely on Dwight Howard in this playoffs run.
You're not and a fan?
I mean, I shouldn't say that because who knows how Tony Bradley would handle like a high pressure playoff situation. So, all right, I retract my Dwight Howard statement.
Dwight, let me just come to Dwight's defense real quick.
Okay.
Dwight was really good in the Final Four and the finals like months ago.
Okay. All right. maybe that switch gets turned on and he doesn't do crazy flagrant fouls for no reason. Hopefully that comes to the playoff time. Hopefully that's a switch that gets flipped, because yeah, wouldn't want that to happen. But going forward into the rest of the season, looking forward to the playoffs, you're right. They squeaked out this win against a Nets team that didn't have James Harden, Durant, or Blake Griffin. I don't know how much of a deal Blake Griffin's really going to serve. So there's that. And the idea that they're in this grueling stretch of games and they missed out on such an opportunity to get Embiid some extra rest and give Simmons some extra rest. Like that 21-2 run, it just killed that.
Yeah, that hurt. But, you know, like I was worried about that. I think I texted my friend, like, are they being, you know, dude, are you kidding me? When they were bringing Ben and Joel back into that game.
Right.
And then like 5 minutes later, he texts back, they would have been destroyed if they didn't. And he was right. Like they barely won, you know, by a few points with bringing them back. So
of course
it was ugly. It got scary. And the same thing happened with the Clippers pretty much. It was like, oh, they only have one of their stars. But we didn't have Tobias Harris.
And it was Clippers, just, so. It was literally the Paul George show. And, you know, he had 37, but he needed all 29 shots to get there. And he shot 50% from the field. But that's another game that shouldn't have been close at all. And no disrespect to, you know, Paul George. Like, I like him, but like we've seen that movie in the theaters before when he was with Indiana.
He has been on a streak like not before. I mean, he came into that game just scorching hot. So I was really worried. And as is, you guys will listen to this after Steph Curry, but Steph's coming into this game like, if you've ever played NBA Jam, like his ball is on fire, basically.
Oh my goodness. It's what, his like fourth straight game of 10 plus made threes?
So he hit a step back and one lefty hook shot from three.
That is goddamn absurd. And I'm never sorry
even said that before.
I'm sorry that I am flagrantly cussing on this podcast now, but that is goddamn absurd. I'm sorry, but it is.
The combination of those descriptions is just, it doesn't happen.
That should not happen in the English language. Again, huge lead against the Clippers. Like, I want to say they were up by as much as, I want to say 12 at one point going into the fourth quarter. Oh my goodness. They just did not keep their foot on the tiger's neck, so to speak, to quote the great Dominic Toretto from the Fast and the Furious franchise. And next thing you know, it's 7 minutes to go in the fourth period. And all of a sudden the Sixers are down one after leading for like the entire game. They needed every bit of that 36 point performance from Joel Embiid that night. And it really should not have come to that. And that's, again, with the moral defeat, that's where it's really starting to really get to me. And I'm really second guessing this team in the playoffs now.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, let me ask you, what makes you most second guessy?
This team not putting fools away when they should just put fools away. Like, I'm sorry, but if
like a boxing match and we've got them on their heels,
yeah,
and you don't get a knockdown.
Like, don't just sit there and just wait back and just, you know, keep throwing jabs and whatnot after you see the knees buckle. Like, no, get in there and start throwing haymakers to the chin. Like, come on, guys.
But the flip side to that is, the Sixers are, like, they do have this weird needle to try to thread where they, like, let's face it, they need home court advantage. I didn't read the piece yet, but I think Keith Pompeo of the Inquirer just wrote, like, the Sixers legit need home court advantage.
Right.
It's sort of like Houston, 2018 Houston, when they played the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, if that series, game one and game seven, were in Golden State, we wouldn't have even watched. But because Houston had a home court, it made it go seven. And so it feels like that's the case here. So the Sixers do have to try to sneak in some of those old school load management. Like, Embiid has just been Oklahoma, Dallas. I mean, the game was over by like midway through the third and he could sit the rest of the game. So I think they try to do that again.
I will say this. If the standings hold the way they are right now, it's Sixers Charlotte in the first round. I'm sorry, but if it's not a 4-0 sweep and a point differential for each game of like 10 plus, because I'm sorry, Charlotte is just not at the level of talent that the Sixers are,
You don't worry about Biombo's ability to slow down Joel?
No, I do not. No, absolutely not. We're going to need a little extra gas for that 4-5 series because we're either going to have to chase Trae Young around for 40 minutes or we're going to have to deal with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for 7 games again.
Or Julius Randle.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. All due respect to the Knicks, they need to stop winning right now because you guys are ruining the potential explosion of the New York metropolitan area and denying everyone the playoff matchup that is so richly deserved this year with the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks.
This
needs to happen, guys. I'm sorry.
You want the 2-7.
I want the 2-7. I want that in the first round. Okay, I want Julius Randle to get on his high horse and say, listen, they got Kyrie and KD and Harden, but we got New York. We've always been New York. So let's show them that the Knicks still run this town and they get blown out in like 5 games. But still, I still want it.
I want the Nets to have the hardest road possible, but I would like, Tibbs gets you to play so hard that the Nets would be a little tired out, at the very least, if they had to play the Knicks.
And I think we've talked about this before. If the Sixers are the 1 seed, and obviously Brooklyn, Milwaukee, some order 2-3, Milwaukee is 2.5 games out of the 2 seed right now, I will say that. But I would very much rather play one of those two to get to the NBA Finals than both of them.
If
the Sixers are the 2 seed, they're going to have to deal with Milwaukee and Brooklyn as opposed to...
No,
thank you. Especially if I'm feeling uneasy about this team right now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, if you got to open like, I don't even know, like Knicks and then Hornets, you could do old school load management within the playoffs.
Right.
Like you could in a couple games. This is going to sound like a cold take if we end up in these like overtime battles, but that's like obviously the best potential scenario here.
The only team that could throw a monkey wrench in this scenario is Miami because they're right now the 7th seed. And if Miami is the 8th seed, I firmly believe they're going to come at us hard.
I'm not looking forward to that. That would be a brutal. I mean, any team that goes to the finals and then adds Oladipo, and then you have to. There was an article today like, are they reeling because they miss Kelly Olynyk? Like, maybe, but I'm still more scared of them with at least remote possibility that Victor Oladipo could play. Butler's dealing with an ankle. So it's not going their way right now, but that could work out for them if they wound up all healthy and then like someone overlooked them.
If Miami plays the Sixers in the first round, right?
Yeah, no thanks.
How far does that go? I would say at least 6. I mean, 7 is not out of the realm of possibility, but I would say 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think the odds makers would have that at like 6.2.
And that's going to, once again, like I said before, it's going to cut into the amount of health rest that you can give to Joel and Ben and Tobias and Danny Green, who's also fighting, I believe it's a hip injury. And
Seth has a hip. As we're recording this, there's like updates on Tobias that his knee is improving, but not great. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. I think he's not.
And yeah, at Atlanta, Boston, facing one of those teams after going 12 rounds with Jimmy Butler again.
Did you ever play the Oregon Trail?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of like this? Like you're going cross country. You know you're not going to make it there at full strength. You're just trying to sort of like
ford I'm just the trying river. To. Yeah, I'm just trying to get to where I need to go without a dysentery outbreak.
That's where we're at. Yep.
Is that really where we are with this team now? Jesus.
It's not just this team. It's if we were recording this on any team in the league, it's the season. It's like.
I mean, I mean, if we were talking about the Detroit Pistons, we would already be talking about the dysentery, actually. I'm just, just pointing that out.
Was it right to take Sadiq Bey for Shamet and Bruce Brown, or should we have stayed Pat? We'd have to do 20 minutes on that.
No. The right move was Sadiq Bey, and that's my Villanova homerism coming out. But that's fine. It's whatever.
What about Kennard? Would you have kept him?
No, probably not. Luke Kennard doesn't really do anything for you if you're the Detroit Pistons right now. Which, again, I was really hoping that the Sixers would do something and put Kennard in a Sixers jersey. But again, that's from my fandom and my belief that every championship team has to have a good white boy three-point shooter. Every NBA championship team has had one in the history of this league.
Wait, what about last year? The Lakers didn't have one.
I mean, you could kind of count Alex Caruso, I guess.
Caruso's not a good shooter. He's like a pit bull defender. He's more like a TJ.
Maybe the spunky white boy that, like,
all right,
spunky white boy glue guy. It's like every team needs to have one of those. Like for the Lakers, for example, it was Caruso, and then it was Mark Madsen for the longest damn time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
All right,
a staple at the parades.
All right, I'm getting off a little bit off track, but after.
So are you very worried about this team being able to step on the Tigers' neck or whatever you said?
Being able to close some of these games is a bit concerning, especially when, you know, like we talked about, it was just Kyrie for Brooklyn. It was just Paul George for the Clippers. It's just Steph Curry for Golden State at the time of this recording. And yes, Curry has been playing out of his mind, but at the same time, it's just Steph Curry. It's not Steph Curry and company. And also Wiseman is out. So not that it would have really made a difference, but it's the Steph Curry show. Just stick Ben on him for 30 minutes and just let him harass him for the whole game.
Yeah,
like that has to be Doc's plan.
All right, here's the news for tonight. Tobias most likely not playing.
Oh, lovely.
Steph looks like he's in. He's got an ankle.
I will say this. I'm okay with Tobias sitting at the time of this recording. Like, I'm okay with him sitting because you have Phoenix on Wednesday and then Milwaukee twice this weekend.
They'll have bought him a lot of time, like a week or something, right?
Which is fine. If you want to be careful with Tobias against Golden State, a team that this talented Sixers team should be able to beat without Tobias Harris, but then you're full strength against Phoenix on Wednesday and you're full strength for Milwaukee twice, I'll take that trade-off.
Yeah, yep.
I will happily take that trade-off if the outcome is one win against the Bucks to continue to assert dominance over that team and saying, hey, you may have Giannis, but the road to the final still goes through South Philly. Like they need to know that.
I want to see that written. I want that billboarded.
I swear Milwaukee needs to know that. Like, yes, you guys have Giannis and Drew Holiday's been playing well, but at the end of the day, if you want to go to the NBA Finals, you have to deal with Joel Embiid in his house for four games or more, and you got to win four of those games. And with just Giannis and a okay-ish Drew Holiday, I shouldn't say that. He's more than okay-ish, but
you got to give me
more than that, sure. Milwaukee.
And you even bringing them up brings me back to, like, didn't the Sixers blow like a 19-point lead and lose to them in overtime not long ago?
Yes, they did.
Another game they couldn't throat stomp.
I need to see this team close out. Like, if they get into a big lead against the Suns, I need to see them close it out. If they run up another, you know, 23-10 opening against Milwaukee one of these games, I need to see them continue to step on the gas.
Well, that probably means just playing Embiid more.
Unfortunately, that's what it means. But And not only that, but, you know, next week you got Atlanta twice at home.
Yeah. And, you know, this just takes me to like another subject that's for another pod, another day. But I mean, Ben Simmons sometimes is so ridiculously good when Embiid is not in the game.
Yeah.
And like for the life of them, they never get them both sort of cooking at once.
That is weird, isn't it? I mean,
they do. They win. But
I thought that was weird, too.
Like, they do. They have this tremendous net rating, and they're a positive force together, for sure. But there's always going to be, like, a 10-minute span or a game every five games where Joel's sitting where you think, shouldn't we have, like, there's probably, isn't there, like, a 99-year-old person who just works for Wells Fargo Center who could say to Doc, hey, you know him and Dwight are not a good combo. We learned that 3 years ago, right?
Oh my goodness.
You need Ersan, who just came out of like off his sofa in Europe and hit five threes and a game saving block.
I want no part of Ersan Ilyasova.
Deadman hit all his free throws yesterday.
I don't need everybody, all the national media people in town gushing all over Ersan. Like
Colangelo.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't feel completely decimated by this team emotionally. Like I'm still in the camp that they are the class in the Eastern Conference. I believe that if you want to go to the NBA Finals, you have to win four games in South Philly, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, there's not one team in the Eastern Conference that can win four games in South Philly. I will say that right now.
Well, they wouldn't have to win four. They could steal game one and then polish us off in Brooklyn.
Sure. I don't think that's going to happen. I firmly believe that the Sixers have a chance to go undefeated at home in the playoffs.
That would be nice. I still have nightmares of game four. I think it was, what was it, Cinco de Mayo against
everybody
the Raptors.
Everybody does. Everybody has nightmares about that game.
That hurt.
I mean, so bad. I still get ulcers thinking about that damn game.
Forget the quadruple doink game seven. I wake up thinking like, Kawhi Leonard hit that three right over Joel.
Yeah.
To make it like a 4-point game. That was the home game.
Like, I think as bad as the game seven triple quadruple doink was, like, that game to me was kind of the backbreaker.
That was the biggest game of the series, in my opinion. Maybe not mathematically, no. But just emotionally, it was
emotionally tough. That the end of that game was so draining. But you know what? We get through it and we keep going on here at Liberty Ballers.
I needed a big margarita that night.
Oh my god. There was not enough alcohol on the planet to console me after that game.
Or Tostitos.
Yeah. Dave Early, always appreciate you when you come on the podcast and you drop some knowledge and we crack some jokes. And
I don't know if we dropped any knowledge on anyone this time. We might have just bemoaned the suffering, but
I appreciate it. I mean, that's some knowledge. I still feel like we came with some goodness.
We did.
It's fine. Everything's fine here. Everything's cool. Just enjoy the content. We're just here for the content, folks. Dave, tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs.
Go on Twitter and go to @DavidEarly, like early morning special. I've tried a lot of those jokes over the years. People always laugh. You show them your ID. They're like, oh, early in the morning. You're never late.
Seniors love Dave Early.
and I write for Liberty Ballers.
Always appreciate having you on, Dave. I'll talk to you soon. My best. Stay safe, stay healthy, all that fun stuff.
You too.